You know, there's a lot of people out there that have a different opinion from what the Word of God has to say. And I'm not claiming to be perfect myself, but I try desperately to cling to His precious Word and to try to walk by it and believe in it. And I love my blessed Savior with all my heart. And, you know, sometimes a man who really feels obligated to God has to make a decision whether he's going to speak out on behalf of God or he's going to lay back and just be quiet and not rock the boat, so to speak. Well, I'm afraid today I'm about to rock that boat, that proverbial boat. And I make no apologies for it. If anything I'm saying here in this message, this sermon today, that you can prove to me it's not true, or it's a lie in any way, shape, or form, then I'll be glad to retract it. But I studied this out, and I do believe it's all true. And I believe it has to be said. Now, the verse of Scripture I'm going to use for the meat of my message is found in John 14, verse 16. And the Word of God says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If any man is a friend of the world, he is an enemy of God." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, I know I'm crossing over, Lord, into an area that's very dark. I know, Lord, there's a lot of support on the other side, Lord. But Lord God, I believe that what I'm about to preach on today has to be said. And I feel compelled, Lord, by the indwelling Holy Spirit to do so. So I ask for your blessing. I ask for your direction. I ask for your utterance. But most of all, I ask, Lord, that those who listen and hear this message will understand only what's done for Christ will last. I thank you now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. When I tell you the name of my message, you'll probably know where I'm headed right away. Well, that's fine. So let's go. Dear God, lead me on. The name of my message is Ode to Billy Graham. Ode to Billy Graham. You know, the first time I saw Billy Graham was back in the 50s. I was a teenager at the time, and I was anxious to join the military and see the world free of charge. Everybody in our small Nova Scotia town, it seemed, was determined to join the armed forces. We craved excitement back in those days, and not to mention a job that paid real money. We were poor folk. Okay? And like I said, it was about that time I noticed a fiery young preacher popping up on the tube from time to time. I was a Catholic back then, in name only, and religion was never properly defined in my family. My mother was a Baptist, my dad was a Catholic, and my two older brothers were whatever they wanted to be. Me, I just wanted out of the whole mess. I mean, nobody went to church except me. They made me go. You know what? I'm glad they did. Even though I was defined about having to attend church and Sunday school, the priests and the nuns, they did manage to get inside my head and do a number on me. And guess what? I believed every word those sisters, those nuns told me, every word those priests, I believed every word that they told me. I believed in confessing your sins to a priest. I believed in praying to Mary and that she was co-redemptress unto salvation. I believed and prayed to all the statues who were hailed as saints of God, even if they were not. I believed that the communion wafer and wine were the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ, and not just symbols or emblems. I believed there was no salvation outside the Catholic Church. I believed everything they told me to believe. I was a gullible young lad. I'd believe anything back then. And I believed in Billy Graham when he gave out the gospel and all the crowds flocked to the bandstand to receive Christ. Usually, as a rule, I believed just about anything. My mom used to say I was so gullible a kid. I didn't know what the word meant, but when she added that I thought the moon was made of green cheese, I simply looked at her and said, with great innocence, I didn't know that. The Army taught me a lot about the world. And if I didn't believe what they said, every word of it, I would soon find myself in the guardhouse shaking my head. You see, there wasn't any real organized religion in the military back in them days. It was everybody for himself. And that made us unbelievers, easy pickings for the cults. It was at that time when I first heard the name Holy Roller. I didn't know what it meant. At first I thought it was a religious crapshooter. When I ended up with one of them in my room, I soon had a new perspective of religious cults. They actually were holy rollers. Anyway, getting back on track here, the name Billy Graham kept popping up. Not only in North America, but in Europe, where I had spent several years defining who I was, looking through a forest of empty German beer bottles. It was about that time, I guess, that I started thinking about my future, and if I was to have any at all, and also about God, who He was, and did He really exist, and how do I fit into His plan, not even knowing if God had a plan. Then one day I was sitting in a movie tent on the island of Cyprus watching my first James Bond movie, Dr. No, and listening to all the shooting up in the Carina Mountains in the background, when Billy Graham come up in one of those movie-tone news briefs. You heard of those? They have them before the movie and before the cartoons and the main feature. Man, I thought, there he is again, preaching that old-time religion. And there was those hordes of people pushing their way down to the middle of the giant football stadium back in the States so they'd get a better, closer look at the man. From that day onward, the name of Billy Graham kind of stuck in the back of my mind, and as life passed me by, I'd always be sure to watch him on the television crusades he had. Soon after I returned to civilian life, I began getting the itches for some good old religion. Not the kind that rolls about on the floor, but the real stuff. The King Billy Graham, the kind rather, that Billy Graham was preaching about, that said that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and if I believed in Him, I'd go to heaven. Well, let me say this. Billy Graham preached the gospel all right, at least as far as I could see. The word seemed right, according to the scriptures, but there was something amiss, something I couldn't quite put my finger on. In 1987, I met the Lord Jesus in an old King James Bible my mother had left among the cobwebs of her life. Yep, there it was, in the King's English, plain as could be, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only beloved Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." How sweet it was. How simple it was to understand. I made my profession of faith in a tiny independent Baptist church, converted from an old car garage in a small Nova Scotia town. I get saved out on the side of a road on a cold, damp October night. And I ain't never looked back. I ain't never looked back. I was saved. Saved by the blood of the crucified Lamb. And I was glad. I was glad. During those early years, my dear wife and I prayed often. And it always seemed that God was standing by, waiting to answer every tiny prayer. And boy, when He answered prayer, did He answer prayer. Although I didn't really feel that Billy Graham had a hand in my coming to the Lord, there still remained a lot of esteem for the man. You see, I figured all them thousands of folks coming down out of the stands were getting saved, coming to the Lord. What I didn't figure was that they were being sidetracked to people of their own faith. Billy would send the Catholics over to their counterparts for prayer. The Mennonites would do likewise. Of course, they were in and out of the salvation pot so many times they couldn't quite know if they were coming or going, or had been there and come back. Talk about confusion. Which, by the way, God is not the author of. Do you see what I'm getting at here, folks? Billy was telling them all how to get saved, and then he was sending them back to the wolves. I mean, the priests were saying things like, just remember who you belong to, the Mother Church. And what about them Pentecostals? Just remember your Pentecostals first. Mr. Graham doesn't believe in tongues like we do. What a mess. Everyone went to their own denomination. Confusion, confusion, confusion. Billy was a good preacher, man. Or was he? Let's get into some scripture. Have you checked the internet? I mean, what some of the preaching mass are saying about Billy Graham? It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. According to them, Billy Graham is going to hell. We'll explore some accusations, and you can judge for yourself. 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is Billy Graham not a friend of the world? Did Billy Graham love the world? Well, if he did, and he had a funny way of showing it. He was friends with most every president, every pope, and political leader in the world. And from what I understand, it wasn't for the purpose of leading them to the Lord. Matthew 9 tells us, you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Was Billy Graham hated? Was he? No, he wasn't hated. Luke 12:17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Was Billy Graham hated by all men for his name's sake? No. No, he wasn't. John 17:14, they, the saved, are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, Jesus said. When you follow Christ, the world hates you. Did you know that? The world hates you if you follow Christ. Did you know? Did the world hate Billy Graham? No. There's not a Catholic church in the world that would give an honorary doctorate to one who exposes them for what they are. But they did. They gave one to Billy Graham. Why is that? Because he didn't expose them to what they are. Presbyterians love Billy Graham. Methodists love Billy Graham. Mormons speak highly of Billy Graham. 99% of Baptists love Billy Graham. The Pope loved Billy Graham. World leaders revere him. Billy Graham can go anywhere, meet anyone. They all love him. The world loves its own. The world loves its own. Know ye not that friendship with the world is at enmity with God? In 1997, Billy told talk show host David Frost, and I quote, I feel I belong to all churches. I'm equally at home in an Anglican or Baptist or Roman Catholic church. Unquote. Is it true that Pope John went to heaven? It must be, because he didn't believe in hell. Looks like Billy Graham will be going to heaven also, since he doesn't believe in hell either. Billy Graham sent in an interview with Robert Schuller, and I'm going to read it verbatim. Billy Graham said in an interview with Robert Schuller that he didn't believe in a literal hell. And here's exactly the way it went. Schuller said, "Tell me, what do you think of the future of Christianity?" And Billy said, "I think there's the body of Christ which comes from all Christian groups around the world, or outside the Christian groups." Outside them. "I think that everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God." Wow. Schuller said, "What I hear you saying is that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into a human heart and soul and life, even if you've been born in darkness and never had exposure to the Bible. Is that a correct interpretation to what you're saying?" And Billy said, "Yes, it is. Because I believe that. I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world in tribal situations that they'd never seen a Bible or heard about a Bible, never heard of Jesus. But they believe in their heart that there's a God, and they tried to live a life that was quite apart from the surrounding community in which they lived." And Schuller said, "I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy." Oh, yes. Billy Graham, "My mom is not a born-again Christian. Is she going to go to heaven?" Billy said this, quote, "Some people require a born-again experience to understand God, but others are just born Christians and need nothing else." Wow. Wow. People say, "Well, whatever you think of Billy Graham, he still led a lot of people to Christ." The answer is in Genesis 1. After his kind. Everything comes forth after his own kind. A bad tree does not bring forth good fruit. People have not been saved by Billy Graham, but some have been saved at his crusades by a few good men of God early in Graham's life. This was because they were actually saved men with their Bible in hand to lead them to Christ. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Billy Graham made a profession of faith at a Mordecai Helms meeting in Charlotte, Carolina. Then afterwards, got drinking and running around. 3 years later, it seemed doubtful that Billy really did get saved. He made a profession, but according to those who knew him, there was no possession, no fruit. Billy had all the media, the world. He had all the media at his feet. The world loved Dr. Graham. Dr. Graham. The newspapers loved Dr. Graham. Even the modernists and the religionists, they tell you, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And on speaking terms with God. That's what they tell you. He's been to Washington. He's hobnobbed with the greatest presidents of our modern era. He's been invited to all the worldly conferences. He's been invited to communist countries who call him their friend. And here we go to John 14:16. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world," talking about the saved. What would Jesus do? Jesus said, "If any man is a friend of the world, he is an enemy of God." An enemy of God. Was Billy Graham a friend of the world? You betcha. In Japan, when asked what he thought about the Shinto religion, Billy Graham said, "I believe us Christians have a lot to learn from the Shintos. Likewise with the Hindus." He went to Rome to see the Pope. his Christian brother. And while there, two Catholic priests hung the yoke of Rome upon him. He called it the most wonderful honor of his life. Billy Graham is now so loved by the world because he believes there is no hell. And this is what the world wants to hear. Let's party, there's no hell. Billy Graham is opposed to every old warrior of the cross. People like John R. Rice. John Bunyan was sent to prison for 14 years for what this man had done. Billy Graham was a man clubbed by religion and devoid of the true message of God. He started out in his invitations by saying, come forward and be saved. Then under worldly appeasement, changed it to come forward and make a commitment. Why was that? Because when the lost souls reached out for Christ, he directed them to men of the devil. Instead of them coming out and staying out, they went back in. He preached at a Catholic church in Bulgaria to over 2,000 people. And this is the hour he's waited for. He said this is the hour he's waited for. To see Baptists and Catholics and all these wonderful Christians meet there together. I heard of a man and a woman who sat in prison about a mile from the Catholic church for 14 years. Their crime? Handing out gospel tracts. There was a time in the mid-50s when Billy Graham preached to a stadium of over 70,000 Baptists. By the 80s, his stadiums were filled with every known and unknown religion in the country, and they all came to hear the man and not the maker. At the end of each service, he'd send those who came forward back to their own hell-bound religions instead of feeding them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone once said to me, how many people are in your church? Referring to a small Baptist church I belong to. I said, well, about 50. He said, well, there are thousands in mine. They can't all be wrong to believe in Catholicism. To which I replied, yeah, that's what Hitler thought too. Just because there's a crowd does not mean there's a Christ there too. Folks, Billy Graham, when he started out, he was on fire, it seemed, for the Lord. Just seemed he could do no wrong. He preached the gospel. Yes, he did. I give him that. But what happened to him? Was he really of God? This man who went and became a friend to the world? Who told people there was no literal hell? Who became bosom buddies with Pope Paul? Or Pope John, rather, donned the cloak of Catholicism. What happened to him? Could he not continue walking in the way God had chosen him to walk if God had chosen him? Or did God just let him go? Did he come into the limelight of religion on behalf of the devil or on behalf of God? If he truly believed in God and was doing for God, then God would have kept him. Why did he leave what the Bible said about hell and about the world? Why did he change the wording of Scripture to accommodate his own will, his own wants and needs? Was Christ not enough in his life? All I can tell you is what I've read and what the Word of God says. And if I put these two together, I don't come up with a saved Billy Graham. I come up with a soul that just never really got on track. And that makes me sad because I loved Billy Graham back in those days. And I still love him. Even if he ain't of God, I still love him. Because we're commanded to love sinners. But I love Jesus Christ a lot more. And the Word of God speaks volumes compared to what Billy Graham has done. I thank you for listening to this message. And I know I'm not going to win any prizes for preaching about Billy Graham. But you know what? I don't rightly care. Because what I preach is what God lays on my heart. And if one needs to be exposed, I'll expose him according to God's perfect will, using His Word as the tool. I thank God for giving me this sermon today. And I pray that you will have a better understanding of who Billy Graham was, is, and where he's going. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me these words. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to hold fast to your word, Lord, not straying from the truth. All the world is a terrible place, but it's a wonderful place to those who love it, Lord. Was Billy Graham one of those who loved the world? It would seem so, Lord. Did he step outside the bounds of Christendom? It would appear so, Lord. But Lord, let me not be his judge. Let you, Lord, be his judge on that given and appointed day, rather. That all may know, Lord, who Billy Graham, the man, really was. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.